Welcome to the October VAT update, and in this month's edition we look at four cases. And as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which in themselves contain links so that you can read the material if you wish further detail. The first of these cases is Beedale Golf Club, and the argument was whether the golf club was entitled to recover all of the input VAT which it had incurred in refurbishing and repairing the golf club lounge and access to it. And the golf club's argument was that it made taxable supplies from the lounge, and therefore the expenditure on chairs, curtains and the access by a lift was incurred to make fully taxable supplies, and so all of the input tax should be recovered. Whereas the revenue contended that the golf club lounge was in fact used for committee memberships and various golf club functions, including the members, and it was linked to the exempt membership of the golf club, and therefore they were only entitled to recover the partially exempt fraction. Now, the difference in this case was a mere £567, which I've no doubt to the golf club was a lot of money. But many golf clubs will be potentially affected by this decision, and if you have clients which are golf clubs and partially exempt, I'd recommend you have a read of it, because paragraph 50 subsection 7 says, from an economic perspective, the exempt and taxable supplies are closely interconnected and are intended to feed off each other, and that use of the clubhouse by members is an intrinsic part of their membership and this is inseparable from the exempt supplies of sporting services. Therefore, the input tax which had been incurred on refurbishing the lounge fell to be residual input tax, and the first-tier tribunal ruled that they were only entitled to recover the partially exempt fraction. Now, there's an interesting case that's listed for the 5th and 7th of October, which is Associated Newspapers, and that is relevant for the VAT treatment of vouchers used in sale promotion schemes. So I recommend that you remain alert for developments and a decision. There's an interesting case about a charity which took over a building on which there had been an option to tax exercise, and as a result, instead of the rental income being exempt, it was in fact taxable. Now, this charity, the Institute of Orthodox Christian Studies, relied on legacies and donations, but it also had a potentially taxable source of revenue in the form of training, although this was subsidized from the legacies, donations and other income. In the year in which the charity acquired the building, there were sitting tenants there, and the charity didn't have enough extra money to refurbish the building as it wished to do. So it allowed the temporary continuance of the sitting tenants, and it derived about £28,000 of income as a result of this. Now, the seller and the charity had taken professional advice from HMRC and professional advice, and they gave a declaration that the building was to be used for a wholly charitable purpose, but in fact it wasn't so used, because it's a business to let rooms and it's a business to receive £28,000 of income. The temporary letting was there for a business purpose, and it meant that the declaration given by the charity that its use would be wholly charitable was invalid. So they raised an assessment of £133,333, being the output tax, based on the deemed VAT inclusive consideration received by the seller. It just illustrates just how careful you have to be when selling a business, especially when an option to tax has been exercised. And in this case, the buyer had indemnified the vendor for any VAT that became payable, and as the buyer could not meet the requirements of VATA 1994 Schedule 10 Paragraph 7, it could not have issued that declaration validly, so it had to pay the VAT, an expensive mistake for a charity, especially if it hasn't got the prospects of being able to generate donations and funds to cover the VAT due. The final case this week is about VAT and services provided by a management agent And in this case, the management agent decided to employ a firm of estate property agents, Knight Frank Limited, who were providing a service, so they charged VAT. And so the landlord decided to pass on this VAT to the tenant. Mrs. Ingram was the tenant, and she decided to appeal the imposition of VAT, especially as an extra 20% could be a substantial increase. And so Ingram versus the Church Commissioners for England came before the Upper Tribunal. She was relying on an extra statutory concession, and experienced practitioners know that there's no effective right against HMRC refusing to grant an extra statutory concession, because the Appeal Tribunal doesn't have the power to consider HMRC's discretion, and the only way that can be challenged is by way of judicial view, where the Wednesbury principle applies, and unless HMRC had acted in a wholly unreasonable manner, there is effectively no right of appeal against HMRC's decision not to extend the concession. But in this case, it's actually even slightly worse, because they didn't meet the terms of the concession. And there's a very interesting summary at the end of the decision. But what is also of interest is that the judge went on to add that if the landlord had employed people, there would have been no VAT. But because the landlord employed a third party, and that's not a mandatory thing to do, the VAT that the third party had to charge was not covered by the concession, and therefore was an additional cost to the tenant. It's an interesting decision and well worth a read. Thanks very much for listening.